Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. Brought to you by BioCleanTex.com on Sports Radio 610.
Let's go around the league. There's a lot going on. Texans versus Titans. Texans in Tennessee. 3-point underdog against the Titans. Give me an X factor, John. I'm putting you on the spot. Give me an X factor on both sides. I'll go first.
All right.
Jadeveon Clowney for the Tennessee Titans and for the Houston Texans. The X factor, Tyrell Adams. I want to see what he looks like having to tackle Derrick Henry. We know that Bernard McKinney is going to be out. It's one thing to go against Jacksonville, but that big physical Tennessee offensive line and Derrick Henry running at you. Tyrell Adams and Jadeveon Clowney are my two X factors.
Tyrell Adams is a really, really good one, especially coming off the game that he had last week. For the Titans, he's a rising star, and we've talked about him, but I don't think people fully appreciate what A.J. Brown can do to a game. He hasn't really, really started because he had some injuries until this past week. He showed some flashes.
Scored a touchdown.
Against this Texan secondary? It could be.
Roby's good, though. Now, if you just let Roby follow him around, Roby's good.
Is he, though? Is Roby just going to follow him around? So I'm going to say A.J. Brown, even though he's relatively a well-known name. And for the Texans, it's going to be hard to top yours, but I'm going to stay on the defensive side. And I'm going to say Michael Thomas. I mean, we'll see. We're going to find out exactly how much they like Eric Murray and some of the other safeties that have been playing, because Michael Thomas got a lot of snaps last week. But you could argue, well, they had a lot of extra DBs in the game for most of the snaps. That's not going to be the case against Derrick Henry, so we'll see what he can do.
Let's go around the league. Bengals at Colts. Indianapolis looking to bounce back from that loss last week. They're sitting at 3-2. Cincinnati, they got a win on the year. Bad game last week against the Ravens. Who do you like in this one?
I actually like the Bengals. And the reason is the Colts, we haven't really mentioned this too much, had a COVID outbreak. They had some positives, some false positives as well. And they kind of had to step back their practices a little bit, shut down a little bit. I think the Bengals are going to be in a better position here. This might be a good upset.
I like the Colts, but I think it's going to be a very close game. Lions at Jags.
I like the Jaguars. I think they're very erratic. Very thin. They don't have a lot of depth, but they're better than the Lions. Lions are just a bleep show right now.
Undefeated Pittsburgh hosting the Cleveland Browns, the 4-1 Cleveland Browns. Give me the Steelers.
Give me the Steelers, but I have to watch this game, man. I mean, it's going to be, first of all, it's an unbelievable rivalry that goes back long, long ways. Then you got the Myles Garrett, first time he's going to see the Steelers since, you know, the helmet incident. It's going to be a hell of a game. I will take the Steelers.
It's going to be very intense. Baltimore at Philly against the Eagles. Give me the Ravens. No questions asked.
Ravens in a walk.
Broncos at Patriots. Drew Lock going to be back for the Broncos. Looks like they'll be without Melvin Gordon most likely, because when you go 30 miles per hour over the speed limit when you're allegedly drunk, you don't usually play on Sunday. Give me the Patriots and Cam Newton making his return.
Patriots shut down practice, did not practice today because of a couple of positive tests. Who knows how that's going to affect them, but I don't think it's going to affect them as much as it will the Colts. Give me the Patriots.
Washington at New York against the Giants, the Washington football team, to keep it PC. I'm going to take the Giants getting their first dub.
Yeah?
Give me the New York Giants getting that first dub.
Nah. It's tempting, but I'm going to stay with the Washington football team.
Alex Smith, huh?
Alex Smith, right? All he's got to do is step on the field.
Oh, that's right.
If he steps on the field this week, are you going to give him your MVP vote too?
Sure.
Since you already give him comeback player of the year for throwing for 30 freaking yards when Ben Roethlisberger's undefeated?
By the way, you have been destroyed with your hot take on that.
Sorry I have common sense and I just don't follow people's takes. Alex Smith steps on a football field and it's more impressive than Ben Roethlisberger being undefeated for some reason.
Yes, it is. People have shoulder surgery every day.
Figgy, if he steps on the field two more times, he's going to start getting MVP votes. It doesn't matter what he does.
I wouldn't go that far.
Pretty much. Bears at Panthers.
Panthers are hot.
Three straight wins.
Hot, hot, hot. Well coached. We could see this coming from a mile away.
Matt Rhule, Joe Brady.
Yeah, I'm with the Panthers on this.
I'm going to take the Panthers. I threw this analogy out the other day. Joe Brady, those of you that don't know who Joe Brady is, he was the offensive coordinator for LSU last year.
Yeah.
Boy wonder. In his 30s, goes out there. The offense is revamped. LSU's lost two games now. They did lose a lot of guys. So let's be fair there. Could it be possible that Joe Brady is to Ed Orgeron as Kyle Shanahan was to Dan Quinn?
Yes.
And that the Falcons got to the Super Bowl in 2016. Kyle Shanahan leaves, goes to San Francisco. Falcons fall apart. Dan Quinn's now fired. Things went downhill. Is Joe Brady kind of that type of thing?
I think he could be. I mean, look what he did with that offense last year. But also, I mean, not to get into the college football thing, but LSU's got some defensive problems as well.
Yeah, I mean, they lost a lot of guys. They lost a lot of first-round picks, if we are being fair. But I'm gonna take the Bears just because of the D, but that's going to be a good game. Carolina's a pretty good squad. J-E-T-S, Jets at Miami against the Dolphins.
Adam Gase is going to win a game against his former team. Sooner or later, they got to win, right? They're not going to go 0-for.
No.
They're not going to go 0-for.
By the way, speaking of Adam Gase, getting pretty chippy over there.
Oh.
Le'Veon Bell signed with the Kansas City Chiefs. Adam Gase apparently never wanted him to begin with, and he was grilled by the New York media types about the Le'Veon Bell era in New York.
You think he can still be a productive back in the league?
I'm sure he'll get an opportunity somewhere else, and you know, we'll see what happens.
Do you agree with the perception that you misused him?
It's irrelevant at this point.
Yeah, but Adam, when a team makes a free agent investment that large and it ends before two seasons, I think the fans are interested in knowing why it didn't work out with a player of that stature.
Yeah, it didn't work out. It didn't work out, and we're going to focus on this game right now.
Man. It's a good job by the media type.
Great question.
Great job by
Follow-up. The media type.
Yeah. Greg Williams is the defensive coordinator for the Jets. I want you to tell me if he called out Adam Gase. The defense has been bad. Here's Greg Williams talking about the D that hasn't stiffened in New York.
You guys are allowing 32.2 points per game. How shocking is it to hear that number?
It's not a very, very good number, you know, and a lot of it's not all defensively, but you know, it's not a very good number. And it's points on the board. We've got to do a good job with that. And how you do that is make them kick more field goals. Got to do a better job in field position type things. And as you see, the scoring's up in the league, but it still makes me sick. You know, and all the players I've been places, I always talk about setting defense back 100 years, okay, because you got to be able to place very strict, stringent defense, and the biggest part of it is when they get into those scoring areas, make them kick field goals. Don't let them cross the goal line.
When you say it's not all a defensive thing, what are you referring to?
Yeah, you just figure it out.
Okay. Do I think he was talking about the offense? You know, you remember Buddy Ryan punching Kevin Gilbride?
Greg Williams will punch you.
Greg Williams was on his staff on that Oilers team. That's where Greg Williams started in the NFL. He was on the sidelines.
So you're saying Adam Gase is getting punched?
He was on the sidelines when Buddy Ryan punched Kevin Gilbride. I was at the game. He is absolutely talking about the offense, and he may well punch Adam Gase. Just like his mentor, Buddy Ryan.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Green Bay. Green Bay undefeated. Aaron Rodgers balling. Tampa Bay looking to avoid falling to 500 with Tom Brady. Texans face Green Bay next week. Tampa Bay, a very good defense. Do they have a chance to go to Lambeau and get the dub?
They have no chance. No chance whatsoever. This is going to be...
Damn, dude.
This is going to be... If you are a betting sort, put it on the Packers. This is going to be ugly.
I think Tampa Bay's got a chance.
What?
I think they got a chance.
No.
No. But I'll take the Packers. LA Rams at San Francisco. San Francisco is so beaten up. Mm-hmm. They're going to be looking for a new quarterback next year. Give me the Rams. I'm impressed with Sean McVay. What a humble guy to bring in an offensive coordinator from the outside.
Go figure, huh?
To work with him despite the fact that he's accomplished. What a great dude there. Aaron Donald, you talk about MVP. He should be in the MVP discussion all the time. Give me the Rams.
Give me the Rams as well.
Kansas City at Buffalo. Buffalo, they got that short week. What do you get? You get the Kansas City Chiefs coming off a loss to the Raiders on a short week.
Short week for Buffalo, and you got Andy Reid got the Chiefs' attention. I think this is another game, if I were a betting man, which I occasionally am, I would bet on the Chiefs. By the way, Chiefs favored by 5. I mentioned the Packers earlier. Only favored by 1. Packers going to kill them. Double-digit win.
Buffalo was without White, one of the best corners in the league, and one of their best receivers in John Brown. So we gotta take that into account when we look at the Titans game. But I'm with you. I like the Chiefs. Monday Night Football. Boy, you're going to hear about that. If you're tired of hearing about the DeAndre Hopkins trade, you're going to hear about it a lot because the Arizona Cardinals are going to take on the Dallas Cowboys. 2-point favorite Arizona, of course. Pride of Katy, Andy Dalton. Now the quarterback for the Cowboys, who you like?
I like the Red Rifle. I've always liked him. I think he's been treated unfairly, but I'm taking the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals are going to be able to go in there and get it done. You?
I'm going to take the Cowboys. I'm going to take Andy Dalton.
Okay.
Andy Dalton, toast of the league. Andy Dalton getting the post-game interview afterwards. God will be thanked. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Let's hear from the most interesting, most entertaining Houston Texan 2 days before the showdown in Nashville. He had some interesting things to say, including we talk about the offense and we talk about how difficult it is. He says it's very, very simple. Plus, Mark Berman, you've never heard him this excited. I promise. Next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Presented by Carbox Hopadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
Before we even start this whole thing, my penalties are a problem. I am 100% an issue with that. It's not intentional. I do not mean to do it. My intentions are good. I'm just trying to finish. And it's killing the team. And I know that. You guys need to know that. No one needs to call me out or anything because I got it, boys. I am completely screwing the team with the amount of penalties I've had in these last, six games? It's crazy. It's horrible. I cannot get penalties. I'm sorry. There's no need to ask about it because I know I'm an absolute liability when it comes to penalties.
All right. That's Taylor Lewan, the unlikable meathead.
I see him working there, though. I know exactly what he was doing.
He'll be on the opposing sidelines on Sunday. What was he doing?
A little preemptive strike, trying to avoid the bad headlines and bad press. So he's saying, hey, guys, no need to write about it or talk about it.
Pulling the Earl Thomas.
Yeah, exactly. These things happen, bro.
I really don't like that guy. I think he's an unlikable meathead. There's meatheads that are likable like Gronk, Brian Cushing.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Lewan is an unlikable meathead. Couldn't imagine having to spend over 10 minutes with that guy. Texans are going to have to spend about 3 hours with him on Sunday. He's a very good left tackle, as is Laremy Tunsil, who's a likable guy for the Houston Texans. He's going to be holding it down for Deshaun Watson's blind side, the highest paid offensive lineman of all time. And in my opinion, as the podium critic, he is the most entertaining Houston Texan, and he might be the most entertaining athlete in town when it comes to meeting with the media types, which is what he just did a couple days before the Texans take on the Tennessee Titans. You just heard from the unlikable meathead.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear from the likable left tackle of your Houston Texans, okay, the most entertaining guy in town, Laremy Tunsil.
All right, we'll get started here.
Come on, Will.
Go ahead.
Come on, I got to go. Aaron Wilson.
Hey.
How you doing,
hey,
Laramie?
Doug. What's up, my guy?
What's going on? Laramie, you've been getting some good grades from these analytics sites. They
say really?
One of the highest ranked pass blockers in the NFL. How do you feel about your season and the way you've been playing?
Man, it's just the beginning of the season. I got a lot of games to play, a lot of good teams, a lot of good matchups. So I'm not really worried about that. I'm just worried about improving every week.
Your off season, you had the shoulder surgery, and then you actually made gains in terms of strength and a lot of things. What did you think about the work you did this off season, including your work with Billy and kind of the way you were physically preparing for the season?
big shout out to Billy for sure. I hope he hears this, but you know, I got to give him all the credit, and then I got to get a lot of credit to our doctors and our trainers for also helping me with my shoulder.
Hey, Larry, how are you?
What do you do?
What kind of, when you look at tape, the kind of issues that Jadeveon Clowney can cause when he's on his game?
Great player. We got to get a lot of hands on him. He's one of the top pass rushers in the NFL, and he's well-respected for sure. So we got to find a way to handle him.
How have things been for you in terms of this changeover now with Romeo running the show? Has it been seamless? How have you felt about it?
I just put my head down to do my job, man.
Brandon.
Holla at me, Brandon.
What's going on, Laramie? You all right?
Yeah, I'm good, B.
Hey, good, man. Hey, I wanted to ask you about, you know, playing next to Senio Kelemete. I know they made that change a couple of weeks ago, and for a while, him and Max were both going back and forth a little bit. What have you made of his play? What is it like playing against him? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm playing alongside.
Next to him. No, for sure, I got you. It's been great, actually. When I first got here, when I got traded from the Dolphins, I actually played my first game with Senio against the Saints. So I feel like we have real good chemistry. He's been playing well, and we just got to keep it up, keep working.
Larry, how tough has the start been on you guys? You get your first win, but, you know, how rough has it been on you guys to start the season the way you did after having high expectations to head into the season?
Man, just put your head down and keep working. It's a long season, man. It's a long season.
Are you optimistic now that you guys have that win under your belt, that, you know, things are starting to go in the right direction?
Let's just keep it rolling.
And I might ask another. Your blocking style, watching you, you know, for a couple of years now, and how would you describe your blocking style and kind of the mentality you bring to each encounter with opponents?
Man, I just try to do my job. I just try to get the job done and just keep going, man. Just try to build and get better each week.
Brandon.
Hey, Laramie, yesterday we were talking to Tim Kelly about just, you know, I'd asked him about how he felt like he'd grown as an offensive coordinator and play calling. He just said, well, you know, one of the things was just figuring out what works and what doesn't work and just kind of trial and error. What can you say about the Florida offense? I know it's just, you know, 5 weeks in, but as opposed to how y'all started to how y'all are doing now.
For sure. I think one of the biggest things for us was trying to find our identity. And once we find our identity, we can get the ball rolling, for sure.
Laramie, you talked about your offense finding the identity. How would you describe in general what that identity is?
Put the ball in four hands. easy as that. Let them make plays, man. We're going off him.
Man. You know what my favorite part of that interview is? Every time we hear from Laramie Tunsil, our own Brandon Scott, it's like he goes, hey, Laramie, you think you got a deep voice? Let me ask you a question. It's true. Go back to, like, Laramie, you're thinking that dude's got some.
Go to B. Scott.
Go to B. Scott.
Let's get a B. Scott versus Laramie
right.
Big voice
but,
showdown.
But take this into account, all right? Laramie, when you hear him answering these questions, you're like, man, that dude's got some pipes. He's got some pipes. And then this happens.
I feel like B. Scott was kind of trying to flex on. I feel like he might got even deeper.
Now, B. Scott goes deep, but it might have been like he was in high school talking to a girl and puts on the deep voice. You know?
What about him saying the identity is put it in four hands?
That is the identity.
Yeah, but most people don't say that. He says, put it in four hands.
You remember doing that with a girl, right?
What? You're
trying to talk deeper on the phone. Zach, like you're more. I feel like B. Scott was doing a little bit of that on that question.
Yeah, let me see. Here. So B. Scott always has a deep voice. I feel like he kind of deepened it up a little bit for this.
Brandon.
Holla at me, Brandon.
What's going on, Laramie? All right.
Yeah, I'm good, B.
All right, there we go. And you can hear Laramie was kind of intimidated because he almost cussed because he said, damn, I've met my match.
Yeah, I know.
Laramie was scared and he almost cussed there.
Brandon.
Holla at me, Brandon.
What's going on, Laramie? All right?
Yeah, I'm good, B.
See, he said, oh, man, I'm at my match.
Oh, boy, we're going to have to... Have to do some.
You say, oh,
throwdown. Yeah, that's what he did.
I like me some Laramie Tunsil. I don't know how I feel about PJ Hall. He's played good for the Texans.
He has.
Played good. But should he really be one of the guys that's available to the media on a Friday?
Oh, how about Brennan Scarlett?
Brennan Scarlett and PJ Hall were available to the media this week. Yeah. That doesn't say much about your defense.
Right.
But there was one guy who was excited.
Okay. I can only guess.
Sam Houston State guy? A guy who has a Twitter handle after J.J. Watt? Mm-hmm. Who do you think was excited about this?
Who?
You hear me now. Mark Berman. I didn't do anything different.
Mark Berman was pumped. I've never heard him this excited, ever. Listen to Mark Berman with P.J. Hall. No disrespect to P.J. Hall. He's playing well. Just don't know if he's... available to the media
ready
yet.
Yeah, Zoom ready.
But I will say the locker room's not open, so the bar's a little less. He's going to go out there and get 3 sacks, tell me to go F myself.
Yeah.
I would welcome that crow, PJ. But listen to giddy-ass Mark Berman with PJ Hall.
You have got to tell us. I've been dying to ask you. You've got to tell us about your Twitter handle.
Okay, so I started off in college. Was making a bunch of plays. It was actually when I was a freshman. So I was batting balls, getting a bunch of sacks and everything. So my teammates started calling me PJJ Watt. So it just stuck. It just stuck throughout my college career. So I changed out. That's been my Twitter handle since then.
And so you left it there?
Yeah, I just left it there. I never changed it.
Have you ever talked to JJ about it?
Yeah, we talked about it, yeah.
What do you
He thought it was pretty cool. He thought it was pretty cool that, you know, that I looked up to him and stuff like that. And now we're playing together.
So how cool is that for you to be playing alongside number 99?
Yeah, it's cool. It's real cool. It's, you know, somebody I've always watched, you know, and, you know, looked up to. And then to be playing alongside of somebody of that caliber, it's great.
Okay.
Thanks, man.
Play the beginning of that again.
You have got to tell us. I've been dying to ask you. You've got to tell us about your Twitter handle.
Okay, so.
Okay. All right, Berman.
Yeah, he didn't really play along that much with
Keep
Berman,
it together, Berman. There you go. There's Laramie Tunsil, PJ Hall. I tell you what, man. We're 3.5 hours away from Texans or Astros versus Rays, game 6.
Mm-hmm.
I got a receipt this morning. My total was 777, so that means game 7 is looking good. I believe in
signs. That's a sign.
I believe in signs.
Do you believe in signs? 713-572-46.
And I believe in hype. And I think the weekend
signs,
is going to get started
everywhere
in a very exciting time. But before we can start the weekend, we've got to revisit.
Mm-hmm.
What happened yesterday to get us to where we are. Let's trip balls. Friday future trip in a stacked edition. There might be an OD coming up next.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Presented by Carbox Hoppadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
3 hours, 23 minutes until game 6. ALCS. We never thought we'd get here, but we're here. And you know why we're here, John?
Yeah, I do.
If you don't know, though, allow me the opportunity.
Oh, here we go.
To tell you a little story.
You're going
to
drop bars?
Let me just tell you a little story. Kids, Houston, pull over the car, sit crisscross applesauce. So I'm going to tell you a little story about how today became the start of potentially one of the best weekends in the history of Houston sports. 'Twas the day of elimination, and Stroh's fans were scared. No Verlander on the bump, just a kid with wild hair. The bullpen was stripped with the game tied at 3. All the good guys had pitched, even Ryan Pressly. Extra innings look inevitable as Valdez warmed up. But then Correa came to the plate and said, if you don't know the facts, you need to shut the bleep up.
If you don't know the facts, then you got to shut the
One ball, one strike.
in the air, center field. Correa's watching. This is back, and it's gone! It's a walk-off home run! Carlos Correa! Astros win!
Man, you know how to get a guy ready. That's for darn sure.
But we are a diverse show. Shout out to the loopholes. Shout out to my 9-to-5ers. Shout out to my people out there in River Oaks making those eight figures. Shout outs to the white people. Shout out to the black people. Shout out to the Asian people. Shout out to the Indian people. I'm trying to mention every race so I don't offend anybody.
Yeah.
But the whole point of that was I want to get to my Hispanics.
Loopholes come in all shapes and sizes.
All shapes and sizes, including Hispanic.
Yep.
Which is the only language, Spanish, that can make what we just heard sound even better.
La pelota en dirección hacia territorio del jardín central. Carlos Correa, Duque, a lo profundo.
Decía un viejo coach en Cuba, no llegues nunca empatado a la novena entrada.
And that's how we got to this point, John.
Yep.
That's how we got to this point where we are 3 hours and 20 minutes away from watching Framber Valdez on the mound. Now, I don't know what to expect from Framber Valdez, mm-hmm. but I know the one thing you can't do today is count the Astros out. Just look at how we got to this point. Justin Verlander. Tommy John surgery early in the season. Roberto Osuna, Tommy John surgery early in the season. The rookie of the year, Yordan Alvarez, comes back. Looks like he's going to save the day. Home run on his first at bat. Not one, but two knee surgeries. The dude's rehabbing two knees. Figure that out for me. Gerrit Cole, he goes to New York. Zach Greinke, up and down. Yesterday, the first five pitchers that the Astros put on the mound were rookies. And here we are with Framber Valdez on the mound. I don't know how this is going to go, but I know one thing. This has been one of the most fun runs that I've had watching the Astros. This is the most enjoyable run that I've had, and they've won a damn World Series. I am very excited to see what happens with the Houston Astros today, and I could not think of any better way to start my weekend mm-hmm. than to watch the Houston Astros at 5 o'clock,
dude,
right when everybody's getting ready for the weekend.
We're gonna walk out of your office. You're gonna walk straight to your favorite watering hole, hopefully outside, or your house, or your buddy's house, and you're gonna pop a cold one or pour a nice glass of cold buttery Chardonnay.
Oh my gosh!
And you're gonna watch.
We were a show of the people for about 10 minutes.
How about a shot and a beer? How about you get a shot and a beer?
How about a rip?
A rip?
Let me get a rip, Biggie. There we go. Yeah. Now we're talking. But, John.
And then watch the Astros.
This is going to be awesome. It's game six, man. It's game six.
Friday at five, dude.
I told you what my total was at the gas station today. It was 777. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I just know that this is the type of stuff where you've just got it. You've got to take it in. These guys have maxed out their potential. They're playing with house money, and they got a damn good chance to win this game tonight. This is going to
be extra fun.
And you got the Texans playing the old Oilers, the Titans, with all the storylines that come with that. You can't take this type of stuff for granted. And here was Dusty Baker summing up everything that went on in this series leading up to this point that we are so blessed to have here in H-Town. Here's Dusty Baker, toothpick sweatbands, talking about the mindset of the Houston Astros heading into the best start you could possibly have to the weekend in a few hours.
Framber is warming up, and you have nightmares of going, 15 innings or something. Boy, that was as big a game as I've ever been involved in. That's one of the reasons why I came back. I mean, you birdie the last hole on a golf course and you had a bad day, and then you keep coming back to play. Sweet as it gets right there. Pressure's still on us because we still got to win too. But this team has done well and flourished under pressure.
It's insane that we're at this point, John. It's really, really insane. We're going to do a post-game show tonight on Sports Radio 610, as I have after every game. It is insane that we are at this point. It is absolutely crazy, and it's even more insane that I feel good heading into tonight. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, I feel good heading into tonight.
I mean, because they set it up perfectly by not going into extra innings. And Dusty just talked about something that you and I have talked about. I think it was this week, maybe late last week. It's all kind of running together. The old comebacker, right? The old comeback shot. You know, you hit a good one. Well, they hit a good one last night. They hit a real good one, and they're ready to play. Two things that I love about this Astros team.
Just two?
Well, two of many.
Damn, Grinch.
Two of many things I love about this Astros team. In a very weird way, they've become an underdog.
No, it ain't weird at all. Yeah. That's what they are.
No, it's weird because they were the hated, powerful Verlander, Greinke, McCullers, you know, all these stud players. And now all of a sudden, they're like the little train that could.
I don't think they've been more talented than any team they've faced in the postseason so far, but especially without Verlander.
Who would have thought that the Houston Astros, the hated, vaunted, talented Houston Astros, would be underdogs? I love that about this team.
I enjoy it.
And they've embraced it. And then the other thing is, I mean, Rudy Tomjanovich said it best.
Say it again. Say it for me.
Don't ever,
ever
underestimate the heart of a champion.
With all that said, though, we know the Astros have overcome injuries to the Cy Young Award winner, to one of the best closers in baseball, to the Rookie of the Year, and all these types of things, all the scrutiny, everything that they've gone through. But Blake Snell is going to be on the bump for the Rays. Remember him this offseason?
Was it Blake Snell or was it Travis Kelce? I don't remember.
I don't know. You tell me. Here's Blake Snell overcoming, talking about everything that he's overcome. This was him in the offseason, the guy that's going to be on the mound against the Astros. This is old Blake Snell talking about risking his life to play baseball.
Bro, Blake, play for the love of the game, man. What's wrong with you, bro? Money should not be a thing. Bro, I'm risking my life. What do you mean it should not be a thing? It 100% should be a thing. And what? And if I get the Rona, on top of that, if I get the Rona, guess what happens with that? The damage that was done to my body, that's going to be there forever. For me to take a pay cut is not happening because the risk is through the roof. I'm not playing unless I get mine. I love baseball to death. It's just not worth it.
Yeah.
Bless his heart.
He's going to be on the bump. He's going to be on the hill.
By the way, if you would have, looking at Blake Snell, if you would have told me that giving me four different voices, I don't think that would have been the one that I circled for being. Race car! I'm just saying, though. To quote O.J. Simpson, I'm just saying, though. Let's give some songs to the Texans and the Astros. Let's start with the Texans. Okay. Texans got a big one. You got those old Oilers. You're trying to get back in the driver's seat. You two guys are going to dedicate songs to the Texans and the Astros. Start with the song that you're dedicating to the Texans, O.J.
Well, it came to me very obviously and easily. You got Jack Easterby kind of running things while they – find a new general manager and coach. You got all the disarray. You got this. Oh, we're halfway there. Oh, give me all my breath. Take my hand. Come on now. Who's not bobbing your head, right?
Okay. I was so blessed.
This is the best part.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's where, as soon as that breaks down, that's where you go try to find the girl to dance with.
Oh, yeah, you'll know.
There you go.
You'll know.
Biggie, dedicate one to the Texans. Dedicate a jam to the Texans.
Hey. That's how practice looking right now.
All right, let's go to the Stros.
Let's go to the Astros.
The Stros. I got an original after y'all, by the way.
All right, I
got
to do a quickie shout-out to Dusty Baker. I got to do that because he was talking about
Mighty Mouse.
Mighty Mouse. Zoom, 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 zoom. Boom, 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 boom. Here he comes, that Mighty Mouse. Yes, sir. Coming to fend with the foe. Here he comes to save the day. Don't be
afraid. What else you got?
All right. This to me is, to me anyway, I'd like to make it the show theme song for the Astros for as long as they're still alive this year, maybe even into next year. Vivir la vida, Mark Anthony. You need some sauce. You need some salsa. You got to get it going. They're living their life. They don't care about anyone else, what anyone else says. They're doing it their way. Y'all can hate them all you want. Let's wait for the hook real quick because I want to hear your bars too.
Half and half. Half and half. Half rocks, half half frozen.
Here we go. Here we go. That's the Astros theme song for me right now.
Right. Pour an extra tequila shot in there too, please.
Darn right.
What we got, Fig? For the Stros.
See me rolling, they hating, patrolling and trying to catch me riding dirty.
Shout out to Chameleonaire. Shout out to Chameleonaire. I told you my friend Stanley got slammed in the fence in this video by Debo.
Oh yeah,
I gotta watch the video now.
I know, I gotta see that too.
It's a quick cameo. He runs and he gets slammed by Debo. Or
right.
Stanley.
Houston Rockets. If you haven't,
let's not even do that.
Real quick. No.
Nah.
Okay.
We don't need the Rockets.
Go to sportsradio610.com, though.
Yeah.
You'll see the latest.
We don't need the Rockets. We got to trip balls. We got to trip balls and go there. But before we do.
Go for it.
You want me to go right now?
Go right now.
Astros win today. I'm not going to bury the lead. Astros win today. Astros bats explode today.
Ooh, I'm right with you. Low scoring, high intensity. It's going to be high intensity, but it is going to be Astros 8. Rays 6. We gonna see some offense.
All right, stay tuned because I got something to pile on that. Houston Texans, Deshaun Watson, 3 touchdown passes. Watson goes off, 3 touchdown passes, 2 of them to Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks starts to emerge as Deshaun's favorite target. 2 touchdowns from Watson to Cooks.
All right, I'm gonna stay with the Astros on my next one. Carlos Correa, we last saw him doing what? Hitting a home run.
Yes.
Guess what he's gonna do in his first at bat.
Hit a double.
Today, hit a home run. He's going to go back-to-back dingers to bookend these games.
Okay. I see you. Houston Texans force a turnover. Bradley Roby with an interception.
2 games in a row now, you're just crazy talk.
First interception plays, of the season for the Houston Texans. Bradley Roby, INT.
John Lucas will be named head coach of the Houston Rockets by Monday.
Say it again.
John Lucas will be named head coach of the Houston Rockets by Monday.
Okay.
Or at least reportedly.
All right. Texans win. Victory Monday, because I'll be damned, the Texans win.
Derrick Henry rushes for a season high 145 yards.
Wow.
I think that would be his season high.
Wow.
And the Titans win. Pretty high scoring game. Okay. 31-30.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. Friday Future Tripping. I got a little original for the Astros to predict what happens today.
All right.
You guys went with songs. Mm-hmm. I think this is one of Snoop Dogg's underrated songs. It's called Sexual Eruption. It is, I think it's going to, the remix is going to, it's going to be the theme of today's Astros game. You ready?
Hit it. I said hit it.
Gotta wait for it to hit. You gotta wait for it to hit. Let it go.
Hit it.
Let it go. Let it go. Okay. Here we go.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Ready? Ready? Here we go.
Ready.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. I'm gonna take what's mine. We gonna stay alive and not die. We gonna take them hoes. We gonna find our stroke so we can have an offensive eruption. Offensive eruption. Offensive eruption. 10 runs plus for the Stros today. 10 plus runs.
I said
runs.
8, and you topped me?
10 plus runs for the Stros today. Stros win game 7 tomorrow. Don't ask me to predict that. I'm not trying to get ahead of myself. It's one game at a time. That's how we got to this point. Shout out to everyone who's made this possible. Thanks to Lee Sterling for hopping on with us. Go to sportsradio610.com. You can hear the Astros songs as well. You can also go to sportsradio610.com, see the latest on the Rockets coaching search. Reaction Monday on Monday. Hopefully, we're previewing a World Series. Hopefully, we're talking about a Texans win. And hopefully, we're looking ahead to Deshaun Watson versus Aaron Rodgers. Get ready. Bosses, by the way, if you're a boss, let your employees off work
4:30.
Early today.
4:30
at 4:30 at the latest.
4 o'clock.
Thank you. 4 o'clock, unless you got something really important to do. But even then, let them off. It's a wonderful day to be alive. It's a wonderful day to be a loophole. Again, happy birthday to sorority Ashley, and happy birthday to anyone else. Everyone else have a very good weekend. For the OG John Lopez, for Landry Locker, for Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, this has been another edition of In the Loop. Astros post tonight, but in the meantime, Clint Sterner, Ron Hughley next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.